It's springtime in Wisconsin and our greenhouses are bursting with color. We invite you out to Kopke's Greenhouse on Sand Hill Road near Oregon. With over 3.5 acres of production space, we are the area's largest direct grower to consumer retailer. For hours and directions, check us out at kopkesgreenhouse.com. That's K-O-P-K-E-S greenhouse.com. We are also back on the square at the Dane County Farmers Market.
Devil Radio programming is produced live in the Solidarity Realty Studios. Find them at solidarityrealty.com. Solidarity Realty, there is an alternative.
Matt Flynn Direct is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Devil Radio. Enjoy.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta
cut you down. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Welcome to the second hour. Coming to you in Madison on Devil Radio 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. And in Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history, going right back to the front lines of history in the making. And there was a terrible thing that happened over the weekend in Wisconsin, in New Lisbon, Juneau County. A retired judge was murdered in his home. He was murdered in his home. He was found shot and zip-tied to a chair. The murderer was found shot in the basement. His name is Douglas Udy, U-H-D-E. In Udy's car, there was a hit list that went beyond just Judge Romer. It included Governor Evers, Governor Gretchen Whitmer of Michigan, and Moscow Mitch, Minority Leader of the Senate from Kentucky. What is the reason for this? Well, there's an ostensible reason, and there's the real reason. The ostensible reason is that Romer had sentenced Udy some time ago. He'd sentenced him for armed burglary and given him 6 years in prison. The sad thing for Romer is that he was not the initial judge in the case. And the initial judge in the case sentenced him actually to more time than Romer sentenced him to, and it was overturned on appeal. And when it went back before Romer for resentencing, that's when he sentenced him as well. And for some reason, Udy fixated on the guy who happened to pick up the file. But a lot of people think, and I'm one of them, and especially with the hit list of Evers, Whitmer, and Moscow Mitch, that Udy was simply one of these anti-authoritarian, militia-minded type of people, because he escaped on a prison detail, was caught later, and sentenced to more time in prison. He went to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan to live with some friends. I was talking about killing a judge up there. I have no idea why he thought he'd do that. He did not do it. But there is a feeling in this country right now, and it's traceable, frankly, to the 2016 campaign, in my view, that suddenly has made violence in politics somehow a respectable subject to talk about, to worry about, to think about, and to do. Give you an example. A couple of polls came out over the weekend that really shocked me. 20% of people in this country think it is proper to assassinate a politician who is, quote, dangerous or extreme, end quote, in their view. And that's people on the left and the right. 20%. One in five. You walk down the street and you see people walking towards you, 1 in 5 think that. More than 40% of Republicans polled believe that violence is sometimes necessary in politics. 40%. And if you start getting all sanctimonious because you're a Democrat, 25% of Democrats think the same thing. That's 1 in 4 Democrats and almost 1 in 2 Republicans. How did this happen? Has it happened before? Yes, it has. In 1860, Abraham Lincoln was elected. The South seceded. People killed each other. Prior to that, there was a congressman from South Carolina who ran into the Senate chamber, not supposed to be in the Senate chamber, went up to Charles Sumner of Massachusetts, who was an abolitionist, and Sumner was trapped in his chair and beat him with a lead-headed cane and almost killed him. We had the Civil War to get that out of our system. And throughout my life in politics, I've had people who disagreed with each other, but you know what? They may disagree with each other, but frequently they sit down and have a beer later, talk about things or sports, and nobody threatened to kill anybody. What happened to this country? Where a guy goes and kills a retired judge in Juneau County, zip ties him to a chair. By the way, he tried to shoot himself and missed. Well, he didn't totally miss. He shot himself in the head, but apparently he didn't do it right, and he's still alive. This is pathetic. And he was what? Going to kill the governor of Michigan, the minority leader. This had nothing to do with party, Democrat or Republican. He was going to kill authority, kill a judge in upper Michigan. But this is more widespread than you think. It's more widespread than you think when you think about 20% of people in this country think that it's acceptable to assassinate a politician who, in their opinion, is, quote, dangerous or extreme, end quote. And more than 40% of Republicans think that violent actions are sometimes necessary. And 25% of Democrats? This is a very, very dangerous development. And it goes back, in my opinion, to 2016. When Donald Trump said, maybe the Second Amendment people should take care of Hillary Clinton. And when the Secret Service went to him, if you said that now, even about Donald Trump as a former president, you'd be arrested. And he lied and he said, oh, I just meant they should vote. And they let him off. Said, don't do it again. And then a couple of weeks later, he said that Hillary Clinton's security detail should be removed and disarmed. You know, he threatened violence against his opponent. That's a threat of violence. And now you have death threats against Dr. Fauci. You have death threats against many politicians in the Senate, judges. He opened the door of the zoo and the wolves came out. And that's what he did. And then since then, you know, he was at his rallies, there'd be a protester, they'd haul out, and Trump would say, from the podium, beat the hell out of him, I'll pay the legal fees. He is espousing violence. And that has seeped down. Now, to put this in historical perspective, and this is a poll I've talked about before, but that still blows me away. In polls taken ever since Franklin Roosevelt was president, and he was a great president, in my view, roughly 30% of people in this country at any given time think that the incumbent president should be impeached and removed from office. Doesn't matter if it was Roosevelt, Truman, Eisenhower, Kennedy, Johnson, Nixon, Gerald Ford, Jimmy Carter, Ronald Reagan. Doesn't matter if it's George H.W. Bush, Bill Clinton. Doesn't matter if it is George W. Bush, Obama, Trump, Biden. 30% would override normal democracy just because they didn't like the guy. But now 20% of the people would assassinate them and more than 40% of Republicans and 25% of Dems thinks that violence is sometimes necessary. This has been unleashed by Trump, but not only by Trump. One man alone can't do it. We are pickled in violence in this society, and the tip of the iceberg was the murder of Judge Romer. There are a lot of people on the line. I'm not going to get you all before this break. I do not want you to hang up. So I am going to go in order and then stay on and then stick around after the break, and we'll do all calls right after the break. We're going to start with CJ of Stoughton. You were the first one to call. What's on your mind today, CJ?
I think those criminals, if I was a criminal, I'd want to be in like a Democrat city like New York.
Well, you think Trump would like to be in New York? I mean, Trump times, left New York.
46 times a thief in and out of New York criminal system. You know, it's like being in a movie theater and watching a different movie, listening to you, Matt. Trump was so bad for this country. 1.6 inflation, a secure border, crime down, countries weren't invading other countries. Gas, $1.86 a gallon.
Yeah, CJ, do you think it is wrong to assassinate a politician of the other party? Do you think that's wrong?
Oh, come on, Matt.
Well, do you or not?
Compare it.
40% of Republicans think that it's okay.
Hunter. Yeah.
Okay. Well, where are you on this?
I'm more worried about the crime in our streets, okay? We watch it every day. That's why people watch Fox News, number one news.
So is the answer no? You don't agree assassination, I hope. Right, CJ? I mean, come on. You don't agree with assassinations of politicians. This is a rudimentary question.
Of course
right?
I don't. Of course I don't, Matt, but that's not the point.
Okay, good.
I don't agree with crime in the streets that your party believes in. I mean, crime is rampant. 46 times this guy was in and out of New York. Every Democrat city, controlled city, is just swarming with crime. We watch a secure border with Trump.
Okay, CJ, thanks for calling. I'm being forced to a break. Thank you for calling. I appreciate you calling in. Everybody else, do not hang up. There's a lot of you on the line. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. I'll get to you in order right after the break.
Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the back.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We have a lot of people on the line. I'll take you in order. Do not hang up. Next up is Gina Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling, Gene. What's on your mind?
A lot on my mind. I'll stick to one thing because you have a lot of callers. No one attempts to attack the United States with military weapons. They have a much more effective and efficient means of destroying America through divide and conquer by utilizing lies, deception, hatred, and military weapons in the arms of civilians. And that's my comment for today. Thank you, Matt. Keep up the great work.
Yeah, Gene, that's a very good point. Abraham Lincoln said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. And that is what is happening absolutely right now. We are the strongest country in the world and in history, militarily, economically, and in our values, our constitution. We have a system of liberal democracy with enlightened capitalism where there's a safety net, and yet we're a capitalist economy. And yet, for some reason, we're being torn apart. And this whole is urge towards violence. You cannot have democracy with violence. You cannot have capitalism with violence. And people are beginning to realize that in the Republican Party, among the business community, violence is destabilizing. And violent talk, it starts with violent talk. And so the Republican Party needs more people like Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger. And that's just the size of it. We're going on in order. Robert of West Allis, my friend. Thanks for calling, Robert. What's on your mind?
Tired of listening to CJ's stupid comments. I mean, that they're just exasperating. I mean, gas prices are high, but, you know, Jared Kushner took about $2 billion from the Saudis, you know, the Trump friend who turned off the spigot at the pump. The other thing is crime is high in the cities. What we don't talk about very often is people come from suburban areas and go into these cities and commit carnage. You know, the guy that came from Wisconsin or Pennsylvania with the U-Haul truck and went into New York City and gunned people down on the subway, is that a New York City crime problem? Or is that one of these people that are unhinged, you know, taking vengeance out on folks? But really what I want to talk about is I think we need to deschedulize marijuana, and we need to kind of get our prisons open. You know, we've had a 50-year failure on the war on drugs, and we need a war on domestic terrorism. So everyone takes an oath to protect the country against enemies, foreign and domestic. What we're seeing is domestic enemies, whether it was the person that killed Judge Romer, whether it was this retired cop, Felipe, whatever his name is there, who was caught at the Capitol with ammunition in his car on Friday, or whether it was the people that tried to kidnap Governor Whitmer earlier that got off in court. What we're seeing is a radicalized, violent part of the GOP, and we need to call these people out for what they are. They're terrorists, and we need to fill up our prisons with them. They need to be arrested and held to account, and we need to squash this violent, extreme element in the Republican Party.
Thanks a lot. Thank you very much, Robert. That's a mouthful. They're going from cannabis to the other, and all excellent comments. Thank you very, very much. Go to the next caller, Dick of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling, Dick. What's on your mind?
Well, you know, I'll agree with CBJ on one thing, the violence, but his party is the party that won't even address the most basic gun laws. You know, there's three things pending that I see that are ripe for the picking for Democrats. The gun issue, Roe v. Wade, and the January 6th thing come this Thursday. And we're at a crossroads as a country, in my mind, Matt, because if these people get back in power or somebody like Trump, you will not recognize this country within a year, year and a half. You want to talk about craziness and anarchy, it'll be out of control like you've never seen if you ever put them back in power.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think a couple of things. One is, you know, right now, there's kind of an uneasy peace in an odd way. It's a stalemate. It's an impasse between Republicans and Democrats, and some stuff gets through. But that's only because in Wisconsin, Evers has the veto, and on the federal level, there is some bipartisanship on some laws. For instance, in the State of the Union address, Biden pointed out that he'd signed about 82 bills that had bipartisan support. And for one was the Ukraine aid bill. Another one was the hard infrastructure. But the fact of the matter is, and I'll be blunt about it, the filibuster is killing us. And Manchin and Sinema won't vote to suspend it. And I'm going to give just a quick comment and go back to the lines. You don't have to suspend the filibuster in general. You can do it for individual bills only, and a majority can do it. The irony is the majority can say, no, 60 votes are not necessary, only 50 are, but the majority has to say that. And Manchin Sinema won't say it. My concept would be this: say it for voting rights, and say it for gun safety. Just flat out say that AR-50, that assault weapons are military weapons. They should not be in the hands of civilians, and there's got to be universal background checks and no more gun shows and private sales. Just say that. But Moscow Mitch will veto it, and a Manchin Sinema won't override the veto for that one bill. In other words, say the filibuster suspended. Now, why are they doing that? Moscow Mitch did it when he was majority leader. He did it for two things: for Supreme Court appointments and cabinet appointments. If he hadn't done that, these Supreme Court appointments wouldn't have gone through. And if he hadn't done that, some of the crookedest members of Trump's cabinet wouldn't have gone through. He did it, and he'll do it again. If he ever got in as majority leader, he'll do it again. And we're going, well, we're like Caesar's wife, beyond reproach. Reproach. Woe is me. Of course, we wouldn't do it. Well, Jack, they did it. They did it. They'll do it again. And it is the filibuster that is keeping all of this out of legislation. Mark from the SAC, you're next, my friend. What's on your mind, Mark from the SAC?
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, briefly, I think McConnell did it for not only Supreme Court judges, but he also did it for other judicial appointments that the president made. That's the way that Trump was able to appoint all the various and sundry judges that he appointed that are wreaking havoc on our judicial system. And either I've read too little history or too much history, because that I hear this crap about critical race theory that the Republicans, you know, one of the dividing issues Republicans are preaching is they don't want critical race theory taught in schools. I don't know what the hell they're talking about, because we had a history book series around when I was a kid called the American Heritage History Books. And they're a bunch of thin volumes that, you know, covered American history. But they had pictures of the slave ships in there. And, I mean, I saw those at like 6 or 7 years old and, you know, paging through these things. And is that critical race theory that, you know, exposed kids, you know, in grade school to the fact that there was slavery in this country? Is that critical race theory? The Republicans don't want people to feel bad about things, and they claim they want you to feel. What's amazing is that part of Christianity is you're supposed to feel guilty about everything. At least Catholics are, but you're not supposed to feel You're not supposed to feel bad about what other people have done to other people, even though you don't have personal responsibility for it. But the lack of empathy that we're supposed to not feel anymore for our fellow man is reflected in, you know, the violence that we're seeing in our society. I mean, you got these shooters going out there that, without regard to the humanity of the people that they're killing, they're just going out there and killing people because they have no empathy anymore.
Right. Well, the thing is, something's got to be done, and you can't force people to have empathy, but you can say that civilians do not have military weapons. Civilians, we already say they can't have machine guns. An AR, I got news for you. An AR-15, AK-47 is more powerful than a machine gun in the 1930s. Going to a break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. Be back right after the break. Back to Matt Flynn Director. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I will take you in order. Gary of Sussex, you're up next. What's on your mind today, Gary of Sussex?
Hey, Matt. I'm a conservative, obviously. I don't know if you remember me. The thing is, you mentioned about the filibuster, about getting rid of the filibuster, and maybe not get rid of it totally, but just use it at certain times. Well, that's your opinion, and you have the right to that. But I think that would be crazy to do that. And that's why Sinema and Manchin's not doing anything about it, because they know that it's insane. You can't just go choose and pick. It's a balance of power. Well, you know, we don't have a king in this country. When you mention, everybody mentions about January 6th. What about the summer of 2020 with Black Lives Matter and Antifa just literally causing billions of dollars worth of damage? That what they've done for the years compared to one day with January 6th is crazy. We need, you know, who elects the president of the United States? It's not the Democrats, it's not the Republicans, it's independents. And with inflation and gas prices and stuff like that, you know, you can, it's not going to be, the Republicans are not going to change, the Democrats aren't going to change, the independents are the ones that are just really pissed off at what's going on. And unless you guys end up getting things under control, it's the midterms, it's just going to be a disaster. I do believe in a balance of power. I don't want all Republicans running everything. I don't think it's good. I think we have to have a balance of power. And then one other thing I want to mention, one of your callers in the last segment mentioned about we need to clear out the prisons of drug users and then fill them up with Republicans. That's not good. I think that there are Republicans that are nasty and do commit crimes, and but most Republicans are good, God-fearing, decent people, just like most Democrats are. It's a left fringe of the Democrats that are causing you guys the problems. I think that you guys need to go back more to the right, because this other guy mentioned if you get Republicans in there, he won't recognize this country. Well, you know what? That's what I said, you know, a year and a half ago. If Democrats get in there, I won't recognize this country. And I just cannot believe what's going on right now myself. Thanks for letting me say all this stuff, Matt.
No, Gary, thank you for calling in. You're a thoughtful guy, and I respect your opinions. I think I do like hearing all points of view on this show. I'm going to differ on a couple of things. One is the Black Lives Matter. I saw some Black Lives Matter demonstrations here in Milwaukee, and they really were peaceful. I mean, there were women and kids and others walking along. You're absolutely right that there was vandalism in some cities, especially in Oregon and Washington, and that should be punished. There's no question about it. However, I see a distinction between that, which was what I would call occasional violence and vandalism, which is not justified, and a group going yelling "Hang Mike Pence" with gallows, and saying that he should be, and that the Electoral College should not be certified. That is much more fundamentally an attack on democracy. And frankly, if the worm terms in this country and that were ever Democrats doing it, I would oppose it just as vigorously, but I encourage you to call in, Gary. You're a thoughtful guy and provide some very good commentary. Thank you. Next, we're going to Bill of Shorewood, my friend. Thanks for calling. Bill, what's in your mind?
Good morning, Matt. I noticed a few things in the jobs report, if you dig into the weeds a little bit. The job creation during the Biden administration has been quite substantial. If you take a look at the data between 2011 and 2019, that's pre-pandemic, the jobs growth was 194,000 jobs a month. However, since March, it's been an average of 408,000 jobs per month. That means the current rate of job creation is more than twice the pre-pandemic rate. So in other words, you try to compare apples and oranges, taking the data away from the pandemic effect, and the job creation is a big part of the story. I know inflation is and gas prices are as well, but when we're talking about the economy, you got to take into account job creation as well. Anyway, I thought I'd point that out. Thank you very much, Matt.
Yeah, thank you, Bill. Well, that's fascinating. It's good to have somebody with some real economic knowledge looking at this. And I agree. In other words, yeah, inflation is bad, although it's somewhat on the way down. But we have real, effectively full employment in this country now. Lowest unemployment since 1968 or so, over 50 years. And wages are higher than they ever were before, which has an inflationary push. But I agree with it 100%. I want to see the war in Ukraine ratcheted down, obviously, like we all do. But that has an effect on it, the supply chain issues and COVID. But I think Joe Biden has done a very good job with the economy. And as long as there's full employment at high wages, I think we're on the right track. Thank you, Bill, for calling in. Wisco Paul, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Hi, good morning, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. I'd just like to touch on two things there. First of all, January 6th was the overthrow of our government. That's a lot different than other incidents. And the GOP can also change the filibuster themselves. And if the Trump Republicans get in charge, they probably will. But I'd just like to say, you know, Joe Biden, he inherited a mess, just like Tony Evers did in this state. And they're trying to do the right thing, and they're facing strong headwinds from the GOP. They just don't want to do anything. You know, I like to call myself a socialist because I like Social Security and Medicare. Even Medicaid is a good program. They don't like them either. But it's like in this state, it's, I guess you could call it, the few ruling the many. But I just, I want to touch on one more thing, and I don't know how he's going to fix it, Joe Biden, I'm saying, is the price of gas. I hear that a lot from my Republican friends, the ones I have left. And it's going to be a big issue come the election. And the people are not going to understand that the war with Russia has a big deal. It's a big deal on the price of gas. And also Saudi Arabia, who's supposed to be our ally, it's not a big deal. And then the refineries are not up to full capacity. So, but people are going to look at the price of gas, and I hope somehow, some way, Joe can get that down, at least $1 a gallon. Thanks, Matt. Have a good day.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Paul. Excellent comments, as always. Very, very good comments. And you're right, on the price of gas, the one thing that I would differ from the Biden people is the president can never give excuses. I mean, he's not supposed to say, well, is that, yes, of course, it is the fact that we're not importing Russian oil to punish them. They're basically a mafia. And yes, it's because Saudi Arabia has betrayed our request and isn't pumping more. And it's a lot of other things. But I think from a presidential point of view, I'd rather have him say, have, you know, his subordinates say that because it's true, and say, look, Harry Truman said the buck stops here. I get it. You know, this isn't an easy job. I didn't run for it because it was an easy job. I'm not going to sit here and shine you with a bunch of stuff about, you know, why it's the case. It is the case, and everything we can do, I'm doing to bring it down, and it's lower than it was in October. So we are doing our best. Thanks a lot for calling in. I'll tell you, the in Ukraine, Joe Biden, it is time to send the Ukrainians your major missile system with a 300-mile range. You started off giving them Stingers, which you had to focus on a tank. Then you gave them something that goes 25 miles. Now we've given them something that goes 50 miles. The United States has 300-mile range missiles. They're guided missiles. They're very precise. And they can be shot from 300 miles away and decimate Russian troops in the Donbass and eastern Ukraine and the ships offshore if they're within 300 miles, which they are. This is now an artillery war. And the Ukrainians have pushed back against the Russian savages, the Russian genociders, and they've retaken part of the Donbass. And in reaction, what Vladimir Putin, who is this rat-faced genocidal sadist, has done, he launched missiles from bombers in the air over the Caspian Sea. You know where the Caspian Sea is? It's 1,200 miles from Kyiv. 1,200 miles from Kyiv. Milwaukee to New York is about 900 miles. So 300 miles west of Milwaukee to New York. Caspian Sea is really a lake now. Used to be a sea before tectonic shifts tens of millions of years ago. It's self-contained, but it's big enough they call it a sea anyway. It borders on Turkmenistan, Azerbaijan, Russia, 1,200 miles southeast of Ukraine. And what he's trying to show is that he can launch from anywhere. He can launch from Moscow. He is a savage. He is inhuman. He's an inhuman savage. In the process, here's what he's done. He has bombed and destroyed 113 Orthodox churches. And it's the Russian Orthodox Church that's supporting him in the war. The eastern part of Ukraine is Orthodox. The western part is Roman Catholic. He is trying to continue to push into Europe. He has his eye on Poland next, Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania, and impose Russian culture. Why is he bombing his own churches? He also dropped bombs on a school where women and children were taking shelter and killed them. And now he has said, the savage has said, that if we give them these longer-term missiles, he will bomb things that weren't bombed before. Maybe what he means is he'll start bombing downtown Ukraine, including he'll try to make Ukraine look like Mariupol. At some point, we have got to step up what we're doing. They are embargoing all grain shipments to the third world from Ukraine to starve them. It is time the United States, Admiral Stavridis said this, and I respect him a lot. send ships to escort grain carriers only into the Black Sea, its international waters, and escort them out. The Ruskies will not attack us. We have got to step this up. That savage is genocide in Ukraine. We're going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Bill of Economowoc, my friend, you're next. What's your mind today, Bill?
Good morning, Matt. Say, with the midterms coming up, and I'm really getting focused on them, I'm speaking out to a lot of people about, are you going to vote for guns or for children? It's your choice. Now, if the Democrats lose the midterms, they better dissolve as a party, because they've got the easiest ticket to winning this fall. But they have to stand on it. Fox, Newsmax, they're all running away from the issue. I watch them every day. And they do everything to avoid getting in a discussion about it because they can't win. And this is served up to us on a platter, and it's about our kids. Kids first, guns have no rights. You can't have rights if you don't have responsibility. We've seen the lack of responsibility, therefore you have no rights. I'm not about abolishing the Second Amendment, but ban all assault weapons and register, license, and insure and train all concealed carry. So you've got a right, but you got to accept the responsibility. Thanks, Matt. Have a good day.
Yeah, that is a very profound way to put it. And by the way, for everybody out there, Bill of Economowoc is a hunter and a gun owner himself, so he speaks from knowledge. I think that's exactly right, because look, here's the thing, an assault rifle with a, you know, some sort of, can fire off 30, 60, 90 rounds. That has one purpose. It's a military purpose or a murder purpose. I think you raised a couple of other points that are very, very good. If you required gun and permitted guns to be sold only through gun shops with proper background checks and require them to have insurance, you know, if you drive a car in Wisconsin, you have to have insurance. Well, these gun stores should have insurance. They should be permitted to be sued, just like you are in a car accident. But what happens then is the insurance companies take over and they say, look, we'll insure you, but you are going to have to do the following. You can't sell any AR-15s or AK-47s. You can't sell to people under 21. You have to do a background check. And if they have a history of mental illness or violence, there's an exclusion. There's an exclusion in this. There's an exception in this insurance policy. And if you did that, and then people have concealed carry, absolutely have training. You know, in Texas now, there was called constitutional carry. You can have anybody stumble in, any 18-year-old, and frothing at the mouth, and he can walk around with a loaded pistol in his pocket. That's not right. The thing that was profound that Bill said that I think is essential to grasp is with rights come responsibilities. You can absolutely not permit people and just say, oh, they have rights to murder weapons and there's no sense of responsibility. You cannot have that. It's a very, very fine statement. Thanks for calling. Next up is Joe of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling, Joe. What's in your mind?
I just wanted to respond to a comment that had been made. I believe it was CJ who was talking about, you know, New York, the most dangerous place and awful violence and all that. I think it's worth looking at the fact that the city of New York has 8.5 million people in it. And when the FBI breaks down places of danger in this, our country, they do it per 100,000. And in the state of New York, if you look at the most dangerous places to be in the state of New York, it doesn't start off with New York City. It starts off with Buffalo. And then it goes to Niagara Falls, and then it goes to Binghamton, and then Schenectady, and Rochester, and Watertown, Albany, Johnson City. I think it's kind of ludicrous to compare a city of 8.5 million unless you start breaking it down by per capita. And it's wise to
It's wise to look at the statistics and wise to look at the people who compile the statistics, like the FBI, rather than indulging in Fox so-called news, which isn't giving him the news, as I've just shown from this example. So thanks a lot, Matt. Appreciate it.
Yeah, Joe, that is a fascinating data set. In other words, Joe's point is New York has 8.5 million, but if you look at it per 100,000, which is apparently what they do, it's not just Buffalo, Niagara Falls, but Binghamton and Rochester and a lot of smaller areas around the state have much higher incidence of violence than New York City. I like New York City a lot. I like visiting New York City. I was born in New York City. My dad came back from the Marine Corps in the Second World War, and he and my mom married, and he enrolled in Fordham University, and she worked at the phone company to put him through. They were wonderful parents, the best parents any boy could have had. And so I was born there, and I like New York, and it's not dangerous at all, frankly. I mean, it's a great place to go. So excellent point. Excellent, excellent point. The subtext of that, though, Joe, is this. It's very, very common in any state and in any country for the average person to rail against the big city, okay? So downstate Illinois, everybody rails against Chicago. Outside of Milwaukee, people rail against Milwaukee. Anywhere else in New York, they rail against New York City. So that comes with the territory. But I think it's important when we're talking about gun violence and a lot of other things is to look at the real data, and you just did, and I think that was terrific. Fascinating other issue, and I remember I'm the guy that was pushing the city to take the Republican convention because it would bring over $200 million in revenue to small businesses, hotels, restaurants, and motels in southeastern Wisconsin, as far west as Madison, as far north as Sheboygan, as far south as O'Hare Airport. But I think it was Gina Beauclair at the time pointed out that sometimes Republicans don't pay their bills. I want to emphasize that. The Memphis police, just recently, Trump wanted to do a rally there. They don't want to provide security for Trump's rally because he doesn't pay his bills, they said. He will go in and stiff you. He will go in and stiff you. So he's welcome to come and do a rally. But he has Secret Service for himself, but the Memphis police are not going to take the expense of protecting his rally. He stiffed El Paso, Texas for $350,000. $350,000 over an event in 2019, a campaign event. He owes more than $2 million to states from Pennsylvania to New Mexico, stiffing them. Republicans wanted to move their 2020 convention to Jacksonville, Florida during the pandemic. Remember that? During COVID? And Jacksonville wouldn't do it because they were going to stiff them for half the security costs. Now, it's not like the Republicans need money or poor. You know, Trump all the time goes on social media and advertises, stop the steal, send me money. He has raised hundreds of millions of dollars to stop the steal. That's why he has rallies and he endorses people. How much money does he have of that 100 million? Where is it? It's in the bank with his access. He doesn't give it out to candidates. He might give them $5,000 here or there. He doesn't pay for his own for security that he wants. He stiffs them, says, sue me. And frequently their city attorney's offices don't have the manpower to do it. And sometimes their city attorney's offices don't want the publicity. So be very careful with this Republican convention. When I say there's a lot of money coming to small businesses, I don't want to see small businesses stiffed. If you're dealing with Trump in particular and with a lot of, and the Republican Party in general, demand payment in advance. And if they say trust in God, what you say, in God we trust, all others pay cash. And they should pay cash. Be very careful about that. Coming to the end of the show. Great show. Great callers. Matt Flynn Direct. Back same time, same place tomorrow. A lot more to talk about. I'm signing off for now.